Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
It is Friday of the 2020 Lay Low Lockdown, quarantine style. It is so happy. My pleasure to bring Mr. Dan, a.k.a. Bojangle Ball Scratcher. That's right. Hail Lucifina.
Yeah, he's on there. He's on the hotline.
Time Suck podcast, an incredible comedian.
Born May 17th in Idaho. A graduate of Gonzaga University with a degree in psychology, he worked as a family counselor before making the move to stand-up comedy. You've seen him on The Tonight Show, Conan, and Last Comic Standing. You've seen his comedy specials, Revenge is Near, Crazy with a capital F, Don't Wake the Bear, and Maybe I'm the Problem. And you can hear his podcast every week at timesuckpodcast.com. His upcoming dates at the Improv have been rescheduled for this October. But next month, you can see his all-new comedy special, Get Outta Here Devil, to Comedy Dynamics. Please welcome, longtime friend of the show, Dan Cummins.
Hail Lucifina.
Hail Lucifina. She's ruling the earth right now. How are you guys holding up?
What are you doing, man? Good to hear your voice, brother. You bunkered down in Idaho?
Yeah, you know, it's, Idaho is going to be, I think, one of the last places to really make, you know, a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
I was worried about getting back here. Got back here. I was worried about, like, I was in Nashville, like, some of the last shows that basically comics are doing in the country. And then got back here, and then the funny thing here, I mean, Northern Idaho, like people, you know, like Prepper Central.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We went, oh my God, we went to Cabela's. I guess I'm a little bit of that, you know, way too. Went to Cabela's to get a 9mm. And they were sold out of basically everything in the
sure.
gun department. Like, it was the most insane. Gun sales in Idaho were off the charts.
You know, I wish you'd I don't know if you flew back or drove back, but if you'd have come through town, hell, man, I'd put you on a rental program and sent you home with one.
Oh, yeah, man, thank you. We flew back, but we were thinking we might have to do a weird road trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, before things get full Handmaid's Tale, before it's under his eye, the Lord opens. You ever watch that show? My wife watched that right before all this went out, and she like started freaking out at first. She's like, they're going to declare martial law, and then it's going to be the Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah, no. Every woman who ever watched that entire series felt that way because it's too close to true. But now with Time Suck Podcast, this is where the world gets really freaked out with you because, hey, your comedy, by the way, congratulations on your new one coming out, Get Outta Here Devil, April 28th through Comedy Dynamics. I know that's getting ready to hit, which, what a great time to release a comedy album. People need something to watch.
People need it. Yep, people need it. We're going to be kicking out content and unless the world completely ends, we're going to keep kicking out stuff. And that's what our fans have been talking about. Is, you know, people are trapped at home and they're getting stir crazy and they need a distraction now more than ever.
Yeah, well, and here's what you're doing. You're taking the Time Suck, and I'm sure some people spin off the planet after listening to the weirdness that they had no idea inhabits the world around them. It has since the beginning of history.
Sure.
And so I just imagine, like, you're making them laugh and they feel better, then they come to Time Suck and some get it and some other people, because you had to have people come a full meltdown because their two are integrated now. You talk about, well, like bizarre mental disorders. It just starts on the show but ends up as a bit.
Right, right. Yep, and that's kind of a nice little like relationship between stand-up and the podcast. Now, yeah, this bizarre mental health disorders, you know, just learned about all these, you know, very kind of rare disorders. And then it led me to this thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, man, I have that. Like, I have this one, and I know a lot of people. And there's one that's actually pretty common, but it's a very new classification.
What?
And it's called misophonia. And I don't know if you've ever heard of this term, but I bet you, if you don't have it, I bet you know somebody who has it. It's an auditory processing disorder, and it's characterized by feelings of, like, true rage, like extreme anger, that get kicked off by sounds that are typically mouth-related. So someone's, like, chewing, someone's smacking, and you get an uncontrollable feeling of rage, and you have to, like, leave the room, you want to yell at them, you have crazy thoughts of violence. Like the website for it, there's a couple institute websites, are hilarious, where it's basically like, you know, do you want to stab your partner if they, you know, eat a salad too loudly?
Dude, you know what? I may be slightly misophonic because there are certain sounds. I wouldn't say it makes me rage, but it makes me, I'm like, God damn it, I can't listen to this anymore. There are certain ones.
Oh, yeah. Mine are like I get genuinely very, very angry. And you can get it from somebody a lot of times who has it. It can be like a weird kind of disease that spreads on its own, mm-hmm. where somebody who has this thing gets annoyed by you making some weird sounds, and then you start to hyper-focus on it, and then you start to become, you know, you can't stop thinking about it when you hear it, and then you get annoyed by it, and you notice it in others. So it can, like, spread in a weird way. I got it from my mom. I remember you're not usually born with it. You usually get it. And I remember the day I got it and started thinking about sounds this way. My mom was on break from work. It was summer break. I was home. She was watching Gunsmoke in the living room, eating her lunch, wanting to be left alone, which I get now. And I'm right behind her about 12 inches off her ear, eating some Cool Ranch Doritos, just crunching away. And to me, out of nowhere, she turns and screams at me. She goes, well, if you're getting like an animal, just go finish it in your room. And I just, like, stumble into my room just thinking, man, Mom hates chips. Like, I'm so confused. And then I did. I finished them in my room, and I'm just like, why did she hate? I can't help them if they're crunchy. Like, why is she so mad at me? Mm-hmm. And then I remember getting weird about trying to not make too much noise after that when I was around her. Like, if she was watching a show, I would try and chew so quiet. I would try to, like, chew most of the time during commercial breaks. And then I'll get mad at her in my head. I'm like, why is my mom so crazy? Why can't I enjoy my chip like a normal person? And then my friends would come over, and they don't know the situation, so they would eat their chips all willy-nilly. Without a care in the world. And I would hate their guts. You know, I'm like, you're going to make my mom real mad. Like, I'm all mad.
Wow. That's a level of crazy.
Yeah, so now I have it. And then she told me she got it from my grandpa, and I noticed it. It's so funny. You can, like, pass this way around. My grandpa is the sweetest man. He's 87 years old, very, very, like, calm guy, steady family guy. I've only seen him get mad a few times, always over a sound. Like, he can barely hear you right now. He doesn't like to wear his hearing aid. He has a hard time understanding what you're saying when you're 6 feet away from his face. He can hear you quietly chew a piece of gum 60 yards out and become filled with rage. Like, it makes him so angry. And now my wife has it. My wife, Lindy, did not have it when we started dating. She has, and I remember when I gave it to her. I remember I tried to keep it from her because you feel so crazy. You don't want to make somebody feel bad for eating. But about 6 months into dating, we went through a phase of watching Netflix at dinner, and we're watching in front of the TV. Obviously, we got TV trays, and she was eating these salads. I'll never forget it. A whole phase every night, giant wooden bowl, a lot of iceberg lettuce, a lot of pecans, heavy metal spoon, and she would scrape 10 to 15 times every bite. She eats every meal today like it's her last. The ratio has to be perfect of every ingredient. Scraping, crunching. I didn't want to snap on her and yell at her like my mom, so I didn't know what to do. I was getting madder and madder every meal. And I swear this happened. About 3-4 meals in, I just stood up mid-meal, didn't say a word to her, and just left the house. She got up, quietly got up, left, and went to walk around the block. And then I just texted her. I go, let me know when you're done eating.
Oh, my God.
How? So it's like a monster. Like, Oh, my God. And it can get worse. There have actually been weird studies. If you have it already, it can get worse if you're forced to be in a situation where you keep hearing the sound that you hate. And I have, like, a weird situation from my childhood with this, where after already getting annoyed by sound, I was basically put in a psychological torture experiment for 4 years.
What are you talking about?
Where, fifth grade through eighth grade, my mom made me eat lunch every day during the school year with my great-grandparents, who lived near both the high school, junior high, and actually grade school in my little tiny town. So I'd walk to their house and have lunch. Sounds nice. In theory, it was hell on earth. My great-grandpa was a Swedish immigrant, came over from Sweden in his 20s, met my Norwegian great-grandma, brought her to Riggins. By the time I'm eating lunch at their house, they're old, stoic Nordic people, kind of cranky, don't talk a lot. When they would speak, they would talk in their stupid ding-dong language. I didn't know what it was. So it would be long periods of tense, old people silence, followed by occasional outbursts of ping-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. It's like this crazy, abrupt language. And then my great-grandpa loved soup. And he slurped every single bite, and he had it every single meal. And then my great-grandma loved a crunchy piece of toast, and she never ate a bite of anything in her life with her mouth closed. Heavy on the open-mouth chewing. So I got crunching, slurping, stupid language, and then no background noise to make it all kind of, you know, like a white noise. No TV, no radio.
Right.
The only background sound was over 100 working clocks.
Come on.
My great-grandpa loved to repair clocks. Oh, it was crazy. It was like wall clocks, grandfather clocks, literal cuckoo clocks. So for 45 minutes a day, 5 days a week for 4 years, it was a symphony of insanity. Just the worst. Dong, dong, dong. Ping, 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 ping. And I'm not in prison for killing them both.
Jesus Christ, man.
Oh my God.
And your stupid ding-dong language. That's so good. God damn.
Yeah, no. I'm a little sensitive towards some of the sounds now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. This is a taste of what you will see on Get Out of Here, Devil, or here on the Time Suck podcast, because it really has become a symbiotic relationship, which, by the way, congratulations on it. You do such a great job with it, man. It's always interesting. I always like it. I love it.
Thank you.
I think you do a great job.
I'm so thankful for it now, where, you know, the tour was put on hiatus, and so a lot of my comic friends, you know, that's like, rightfully so, freaking out with that, like, live performance, basically, like, their sole source of income. And I'm so thankful that I can double down now on podcast stuff between subscribers and, you know, and advertisers and stuff. We can keep our three employees, you know, paid, and we can keep this all going.
Yeah, so tell me.
I'm super thankful for it now.
So make sure you do this. Time Suck is the name of the podcast. Time Suck, Dan Cummins, Time Suck. Make sure you do that. And don't forget to watch the special April 20th. I'll keep reminding you. But some of the other subjects on Time Suck. The Nation of Yahweh, and I'm pretty sure I ran into these guys in New York City. They're the angry black guys.
I bet. Yep. It's a black Hebrew Israelite.
Yeah, super mad. Wouldn't give me a goddamn pamphlet. And literally, like, they were angry with me.
Oh, no.
Like,
oh, of course. You're not supposed to get a pamphlet. It's, you know, it's interesting. I've done a few episodes, unlike Oklahoma City bombing and Ruby Ridge and a bunch of others that reference, like, you know, white supremacists. And I feel like I had talked about that kind of a lot on several episodes. I never want to make it seem with racism that it's like a one-way street, that it's only like, you know, white people hate everybody else, and that's all, you know, the racism that exists in the world. And so the Nation of Yahweh was a good example of a black supremacist group, where they believe that they're the real lost tribe of Israel, that, you know, certain Africans are from this tribe, and that everybody else in the world is less than. So, I mean, the Nation of Yahweh, called in some of these, like, offshoots, they would actually teach that not only are black people superior to white people, but that in heaven, white people are the slaves of black people, like their souls. I mean, it's like, and so, yeah, the black Hebrew Israelites, I'm not surprised they didn't give you the pamphlet, because they have zero interest in you looking like you look, being a part of anything they do. Like, they hate white people, like, passionately.
No, I noticed that when I walked by and I was like, hey, I'll take a pamphlet. They're like, no.
Oh my. You're not expecting that.
Well, you don't often get like the look of like the true look of condescension, like you are so beneath me. And I'm like, wow.
Just disdain, so, like so in the eyes.
Then I had to listen to them talk. I was listening to their preaching a little bit, and they were going on. And I was like, I'm always fascinated by stuff like
that.
So I was like, Wow. Sure. Yahweh. Isn't that like a pyramid scheme? It's like a, no, wrong one. Wrong one. They don't have any sense of humor at all, by the way.
Right, right. No, it's connected somewhat to Nation of Islam, you know, like Louis Farrakhan, who's also super racist. Not as blatantly as those guys are. They're all especially hateful towards Jewish people. Like they, oh man, they're super anti-Semitic. They think that they're like the imposters, and that there's so many crazy stories. There was one black Hebrew Israelite group who went to Israel in the 60s and basically tried to take it over and be like, it's ours. Like, we're the real Jews. You're the fake Jews. So get out.
Fake Jews. It just makes me laugh in today's world. Fake Jews. Fake Jews.
Oh, yeah. And they think white people, I mean, they think that you're the spawn of the devil. They literally think white people came from the devil. And there's a whole, like, kind of mythology. It's so crazy. And the craziest version of it was this Nation of Yahweh. Some people know it as the Temple of Love cult. And they're out of Miami. One of their most famous members was a former NFL defensive back named Robert Dozier. He didn't play very long. Not long at all. It's like briefly for the Raiders and briefly for the Rams, I believe. But this guy was one of their enforcers, and he ended up killing 7 people for this cult.
Jesus Christ.
Because to be part of their inner circle, their leader, Yahweh Ben Yahweh, this guy, his real name, Toulon Mitchell Jr.
That's a great name.
I love, like, they always have like a boring name. It's Toulon Mitchell, but he's like, now you can call me God, Son of God.
Yeah, perfect. Liberal media, fake Jews.
Oh, right, right. Yeah. He said that if you want to be part of my inner circle, you got to bring me a white person's ear, and to prove you killed him. So this guy went, started killing people in Miami, and started bringing him ears.
Nice,
like, it's insane.
Listen, anybody thinks that racism doesn't go every different way.
Yeah,
go to Asia and watch how these guys, Japanese, Chinese, Taiwanese, you get into Cambodia, get into Thailand, all at Laotians, all of them. Everybody wants to stomp on everybody. That's just, it's a never-ending thing, man, for sure.
Oh, yeah. If you go back to like 2 generations, I mean, there's a reason Japan was aligned with Nazi Germany during what people are like, how could they be aligned? They're not Aryan, you know, which is not even a real thing, but they're not like white, you know, but they were equally racist. Like, Japan for many years was one of the most racist planets on the countries on the entire planet.
Yeah, no, like, it's not just it's
Japanese
just not
people and everybody else.
It's not just white people. Although I do feel like the white people, we perfected it.
Right, right, right. white people were like the New England Patriots of racism.
Yeah, they were. They really are. Champions,
yeah.
Really.
Yeah, really.
World champions.
Really pushed around the world. But like, but these cults fascinate me when they do super weird things, like talk their members into like believing the most nonsensical things.
Sure.
And one of the craziest things I've read about in a long time was this Yahweh Ben Yahweh. He was a huge pervert, like a lot of these leaders are. And he was, you know, he ended up like, you know, molesting tons of members, women and kids.
Every time. Every time. Because God gets as much vagina as God wants.
Right. Oh, yeah. Every time. It's like there's that angle. Well, he would separate the women from the men and teach him these health classes. Like, he didn't know anything about medicine, but he would teach him about, like, pregnancy and all this stuff. The craziest thing he taught a CPR class for unborn babies. And he instructs women to blow in other women's vaginas.
Oh,
which is really just a real roundabout way to watch a girl go down on another girl.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And I'm like, but to do that, you have to believe that like a baby's just chilling in there in like a dry area, like it's a little cave, and there's a little baby in there. And how would that little baby let you know that he was choking? So you'd have to believe in like a little baby chilling in like a cave, like a stomach cave.
Yeah.
Who also can be like, hey guys,
like Osama bin Laden. Yeah.
Right. Someone help me. Mom didn't chew her food properly. I'm choking in here.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, no, that's my favorite part of all the religions is when they get into the crazy. It can be the stuff you're already desensitized to. Like, you know, Jesus, I used to walk into a church as an altar boy and they told me I was going to eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's pretty goddamn disarming when you're 10 years old.
Oh, yeah, because it is a crazy, you know, it's not a rational thing, you know, about faith. It's like, Yep, and then just get people who already have a certain level of faith and then slowly pull them into more and more irrational kind of thoughts.
Scientology.
Oh, and by the way, on the Time Suck has like a kind of like a secret little Patreon thing called The Secret Suck, and every week on that show, we talk about wackadoodles, people just that are weird, doing crazy stuff. We just talked yesterday about a pastor with this coronavirus. You ever heard of Kenneth Copeland? He's like a televangelist.
No, but I want to know. Now I want to know.
He's so extreme. He is the evilest looking dude that I have maybe ever seen. Like, he looks like, if demons are real, they have to look like Kenneth Copeland.
Oh, yeah. So evil. Jesus Christ Almighty. No, for real. Like,
he's intense.
Yeah, televangelist Copeland commands unemployed followers to keep giving 19 hours ago.
Oh.
If you lost your job in the pandemic, don't you stop tithing from... that was 22 hours ago.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's so
great.
What
he was doing 2 days ago, he was doing the sermons. He had, like, Purell or something all over his hand, and he has his hand on the screen, and he's telling people that that he can get rid of coronavirus. If they just put their hands to the screen, he can just use the power of Jesus to push it out of your body.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, I don't understand how people can get sucked into that, where it's like, you know, Jesus was around during the Middle Ages. He didn't have a real good track record with the Black Plague.
No, really didn't. The flea god beat him on that one. Yeah,
exactly. People should have been putting, burning little tribute to the flea god. Exactly.
Dude, it's...
It is interesting, all this stuff, man. Yeah. Endlessly interesting.
If you're just joining the show, the great friend of the show, Dan Cummins, incredible comedian. That's how we met him. But then he started doing this Time Suck podcast, and that really has just been my favorite thing. And now another special comes out. Is this your fourth special? Third special?
This is the third hour special, and I think the audio will be like the seventh album.
God, get out of here, devil. April 28th through Comedy Dynamics. Everybody's releasing to that platform, and then it goes to everything you've ever heard of, from Amazon to iTunes, across the board. From, you know, it's there everywhere.
Like Comcast, Dish, you can like watch it on demand. Yeah, it'll be basically everywhere but Netflix. And HBO. It'll be all over the place.
Right. So when do we see the next Time Suck? Because now, obviously, you're gonna have a lot of time to do podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, this week was Baba Yaga, crazy Russian folklore. We do all kinds of different topics. I love the old folklore topics because they just remind me that we've been interested in dark things our whole existence as a species.
Well, my favorite.
Sometimes I'm like, man.
My favorite Russian folklore is the idea that they were breeding half. They wanted a superhuman soldier, so that's where the Sasquatch were coming from. Or was that the half human, half dog people?
You know, I can't remember what's right on that specific animal, but I know that every culture has some kind of like Sasquatch-like beast. I think the stuff we were looking at was further back than that one, like the old, ancient, like oral tradition. But yeah, like Baba Yaga is the OG witch.
Yeah, it was Stalin. It was Stalin's half-man, half-ape super army that they were talking about.
That was during Stalin. Yeah, exactly. They thought that they were, like, building these super creatures.
Yeah.
And that was, tied to more recent stuff. Oh, yeah. But these old stories, like the Little Red Riding, like the Brothers Grimm, that's all the Germanic stuff. And then this was all, like, the Slavic stuff, which is Eastern Europe and Russia. And the original stories are just the darkest tales. It's like... You know, little kids go out in the woods and they get lost and they end up in a house, surrounded by bones for the fence and some nasty old lady with teeth that are made out of iron who has an oven specifically for baking children. I mean, like all these old stories, there's so much death and just the worst. Just like kids being eaten, you know, just people being tortured. Like the original, like Cinderella, Snow White stories are incredibly bloody. And so it makes me feel a little better about like, why am I so fascinated with serial killers? It's like, oh. Because I'm a human being.
Hans.
Like, our species has always been fascinated with the darkest stuff ever.
Hans Christian Andersen. Hans Satan Andersen, if I say.
Right. All those old stories, man, they're brutal. Brutal stuff.
All right.
I got to do one of your guys, Robert Verdella, soon. He's been on the list, the Kansas City Butcher. I read a little bit finally recently about him. You've been telling me about him for years.
Yeah, listen, he was amazing, and in terms of his depravity and evil, when you're ready to do that, you need to harness the Kansas City power, because he was famous. He had Bob's Bazaar Bazaar in the middle of the Westport Flea Market, which is it's still to this day a mainstay restaurant bar in Kansas City. And then there was a flea market surrounding it. And he had Bob's Bazaar Bazaar, and he would pick up people. I mean, I remember going inside there. I remember being a kid and skipping school and coming down to Westport, and we were skateboard. And my buddy Kelly Paul, I don't know where he ended up in life, but he, years before that, lived about five houses down the street from Bob Bordella over in Hyde Park.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And another friend of mine stole the mailbox off his house after it happened, and I think he still has it.
Wow. Yeah, that story is nuts. It's like the little bit that I've read about, like, keeping people in cages. And some people were his friends that he had known casually for years.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, they're in the cage.
Oh, shooting acid into their throat, and so they couldn't talk, trying to figure out how to take out, so they couldn't scream, putting caulk in their ears, so they couldn't hear, electrocuting them, beating them, sodomizing. I mean, it was truly like just full bore evil. And then, of course, we had the other. Johnny Robinson, who was putting the chicks in the barrels all the time. He was the slave master, the slave master, Johnny Robinson, putting chicks in 55-gallon barrels.
What?
Oh, yeah. He's a whole nother good serial killer out of Kansas City who would die. And he's interesting because he started out as a con man, which is sociopath, right? And so he went con man. He kept doing that, bamboozling people out of their money. And then he got into bondage, BDSM, when you start reading this book.
Oh.
And so he needed even more control. And eventually he went full psychopath because he had to kill them. It was the only thing he could do was to control them. That's the only way he could finally get off. It wasn't enough to be the smartest guy or the most powerful guy. Then he had to start killing everybody.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is insane, like, what some people... It is that weird slippery slope thing. You know, like, with cults... And with serial killers and everything, that's one thing I've noticed across the board. No, nobody goes from, like, being, happy, good Samaritan, involved in their community, upstanding citizen, to doing that, like, in a day. It's always this steady descent of first they do a little crime, then they do a little bit more, then they get a little further, and then, like, years later they're doing that kind of
thing. But and to your point, because Nikki was immediately going to bring up BTK in Wichita, but that was a cover.
Sure.
He wasn't a fine, upstanding person. Sure, he was a deacon in his church. Sure, he was a Boy Scout master, whatever, but that was the cover, I believe.
He appeared.
I don't think he went from being, Dan's talking about being a genuinely good person and then all of a sudden...
going from good to evil.
Yeah, this guy was, the cover, right? I mean, John Wayne Gacy was a goddamn children's clown. That on the outside looks pretty harmless.
Heavily involved in the JCs. I mean, almost all of them are really good at compartmentalization, which is why they're so scary.
Yeah.
Where, I mean, there's almost no cases of somebody that once they become a psychopath are just always that way to everyone around them. You know, that's what's so scary about them, is that, like, they maintain that facade of how they used to be or whatever they think society expects of them so they can be the predator they want to be in private.
Like a chameleon. You know,
that's the scariest thing about them, is that they're so good. Well, because, like, a true sociopath who just truly doesn't care what other people, are about other people, has no empathy, they can wear whatever mask they want.
Sure.
They're just, like, empty inside.
Yeah. Well, these are the kind of podcasts at Time Suck that will make it so much easier for you to stay inside your home over the next month.
It is one of the weird things, for me at least, that when I read about, like, things are weird for me and things are not going great for me or society, whatever, if I can get lost in a story about other people who had it worse, it's kind of sick, but it does make me feel better. At least I'm not in a cage.
Why did we watch Jerry Springer? I mean, come on, that's the basis for the whole thing.
Right? Dateline.
Exactly.
So we got plenty of dark shit. Yeah, we did BTK. That was one of the ones we did before. Guy, the bind, torture, kill. A recent really terrible one was Joseph Duncan, who got people around here. He was just pure evil. We've done some really cartoonish ones, like Albert Fish is one of the weirdest serial killers.
Have you been to the Zach Bagans Haunted Museum in Vegas yet?
No, I didn't go. When I was down there last time, I had the family. I know you texted me.
You got to go.
They have a thing I talked about on my other podcast, Scared to Death, that Dybbuk box.
Yeah. They have the Ed Gein cauldron that he boiled people's skin off in.
Oh, man. Man, that's crazy.
Yeah. Now yeah, they got the Dybbuk box. They got the original van that Kevorkian was using to smoke people.
Oh. You know, Ed Gein, sometimes I forget about, we do so many topics, it's hard to keep track of them all. But whenever I hear Ed Gein now, I think about one moment from that episode we did on him where, you know, he didn't kill, I think he killed three people. That's not a terrible thing, but he didn't kill person after person. Most of his, I don't know if you want to say victims, were people who were already dead.
Yeah, like cadavers.
Grave robber. He would dig up cadavers and then take their skin. And he had like a little bag full of just vulvas. Full of just specifically women's vulvas.
Oh yeah,
but he made this suit with like a crazy, you know, like the breast still on it and everything, like basically like a women's skin suit, and out in Plainfield, Wisconsin, very rural Wisconsin, you know, decades ago, he would just walk out at night wearing this crazy skin suit with a dead woman's scalp and hair, dead woman's breast, and like all these crazy parts. And I just always think like if you were some country kid. And you're sneaking around at night, and then you see this weird dude wearing a woman's skin suit dancing under the moonlight, which you would literally do.
Yeah, right.
You had lost your mind.
Just was I'm pretty, oh so pretty. Yeah.
Yes. And I always think like that was somebody's real life. Somebody really put on that suit. At one moment in history, walked out under the moonlight in rural Wisconsin and just did a little bit of dancing.
Yeah, it's incredible.
I'm weird, but thank God I'm not that weird.
No, I feel the same way every day. Every day I get a little more normal to myself.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
All right, listen, man, thank you.
How are you guys doing?
Good, just holding up, man, just showing up every day, man, trying not to get the coronavirus. When I rode the motorcycle a little bit yesterday. And, you know, it's just, it's weird. This is going to be a good story on the other side. And I think there's going to be a lot of positive stuff that comes out of it. And I don't want to be the corny guy, but I think the thing we feared the most, like this idea of being forced into something, it might not be the worst thing in the world to slow down a little bit, to look at people, to talk to fewer people, but have better conversations. It may not be bad.
Yeah, I mean, I do think about that. You know, I mean, obviously, you know, like you and everybody else, I feel so terrible for people's jobs and everything.
Sure.
I do think that it does force this work. I'm like that, where I'm touring, I'm doing the podcast, I'm doing so many things, and now it's like I have to be home more. I have to, like, and I am going to look at it like, okay, this is a great chance to reconnect with a lot more family time. And just my wife and I were talking about that last night, you know, that if everything went away, you know, we still got each other, we still got the kids. You know, prioritize the things that are the most important in life. So, yeah.
Decide which one you love most, which one has the most potential.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and sacrifice that one if supplies get low. And, you know, just kind of put together a priority sheet.
Man, listen, we're going to get together over the next few weeks, man, because we're going to need you. And I want people to check out the Time Suck podcast. Don't forget April 28th, Comedy Dynamics. And we'll keep on that, man. Get out of here, devil. But we'll just stay in touch. We'll talk a bunch more, man, because I love conversations with you, Dan.
Oh, thanks, Johnny, man. I love talking to you guys. I'm so glad you guys are okay. I'm so glad you guys are still kicking out the show. And I hope you do this whole time because, man, people need you guys more than ever.
No. You know what? I think the stuff that they're used to hearing, again, like you, like us, like any radio show anybody likes or television show, yeah, I want it all to stand there because I think it's a sense of normalcy that it's just another little thing to go, hey, man, it's going to be all right. We're going to make it through this. I know it seems weird and uncertain. We're spinning out of control. But in the end, everything's still happening. Food is still coming. You still get, you know, toilet paper. Electricity's going to come down the line. You're just going to have to stay away from others so you don't keep passing around this ridiculous pandemic and kill a bunch of old people who are just trying to live as long as they can.
Right.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Stay right there. Hold on, Dan. I love that. Don't forget, Time Suck Podcast. Go back and listen to all of them.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.